Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and they will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and they will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What beautiful gospel in this Old Testament passage, not always all that typical for the book of Ezekiel. It provides profound comfort for the flock of God, for his chosen people, and it forms much of the background of the New Testament imagery of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. God will seek the lost. He will bring back the strayed. He will bind up the injured. He will strengthen the weak. His servant David will be their shepherd, he says later on in Ezekiel chapter 34. That is to say, David's greater son, Jesus Christ, will be the shepherd of the sheep. What wonderful gospel comfort. But why was this passage necessary? Why did God have to declare this to his flock at this time? Well, it's not because of the temporal idols you struggle against, though certainly you do. It's not because of all the things going on out there, but rather the things that were going on within the people of Israel, among his gathered chosen people. That is to say, he makes this promise because his shepherds, the priests and the leaders of the people, had in fact become the wolves. His under-shepherds had failed to speak God's word faithfully to his people, choosing instead to live off of the sheep. Earlier in chapter 34, God chastises these shepherds. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, but you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. It doesn't end there, he continues. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And on it goes. God vents his anger on these false shepherds. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand. No longer will the shepherds feed themselves on the sheep. The shepherds had become the wolves. What happened? How were these shepherds supposed to be caring for God's flock? Well, in the context of Ezekiel's book, it means that they were to be speaking God's word of warning and blessing. That is to say, they were to be warning the wicked man of his wicked ways, as well as the righteous man who was erring and turning from his righteous ways. They were to be warning them, preaching God's word faithfully. These shepherds were supposed to be willing to suffer and die for the sake of this proclamation, even losing everything they had, all their wealth and status, for the sake of God's word. But the religious leaders of Israel lived more for their temporal security than God's eternal word. They lived for the financial security of a nice retirement package and healthy benefits in the here and now. They slaughtered the sheep to feed themselves, not caring to teach God's word. Pastors today vow to preach God's word regardless of what it might cost them. They vow to shepherd God's flock, not as a hireling just for money, but as the under-shepherds of Christ who laid down his life for the sheep and died for them. That's why we have this beautiful passage about God shepherding his sheep. Because as he looked at them, as he saw the people of Israel in this foreign land, as he saw these failed shepherds, they were like sheep without a shepherd, no one to guide them. And so he promises them, I will be your shepherd, and I will feed you. The metaphor of shepherding was actually not an uncommon metaphor among the pagan cultures of the time either. They understood shepherding culture, and the pagans often thought about their gods in some fashion or another as shepherds to them. But the fulfillment of this passage in Jesus Christ brings into sharp focus the distinction between the pagan conception of God as a shepherd and the Christian conception that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus seeks after the lost, as any good shepherd does. He brings back the scattered. On the day of clouds and thick darkness, when all the world will be judged, he will sit on the throne and say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That is to say, he will feed his sheep on the mountainsides of Israel by the ravines. He will lead them beside the quiet waters, and for his name's sake, he will call them. He will give them good grazing land. But here is where the metaphor breaks all the pagan connections. Because the means by which this redemption comes, this healing and binding up, does not fit with how they conceived of things. Jesus is the good shepherd who doesn't just feed and care for the sheep, but he's the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. No shepherd dies for sheep. It simply does not make sense. Shepherds are an investment. If you lose some of your investment, it's the cost of doing business. If the pack of wolves come, perhaps you might have to flee. Simply cut your losses. That's how business works. But not the good shepherd, not in his business. Not Christ, your Savior. He dies for his sheep. He dies for you. He does not leave this to another. Therefore, pastors, heed Ezekiel's warning. The sheep you care for are not your own. They belong to another. Through your service, indeed, he cares for the sheep, but it is his work. Remember that he loves them so deeply that he did what no shepherd would ever do. He died for them. God will indeed rescue his sheep out of the mouth of the false shepherd. The fat and the strong shepherd he will destroy, and he will require the blood of the false shepherd from their hand. The blood of the sheep from the hand of the false shepherd. Repent, therefore, of your love of wealth. Repent of living off the fat of the sheep, and return to the care of God's people. Preach his word. Preach it faithfully. Study it. Know it. And feed the people. Preach what needs to be preached, and stand firm regardless of what may come. The world will assault you. They may cast stones that break bones, or they may use words that do far worse. But your good shepherd has promised that you also belong to his flock, that he will bind up your wounds and make you whole as well. We all, the entire flock of God, have received from this Lamb slain from the foundation of the world life and salvation. He is indeed the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He has washed you in his baptism. He feeds you with the rich body, his rich body and blood here on the mountain of his church. And he calls all of us, sheep and shepherd alike, by his name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.